This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No money, man. Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need a lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 304 of 4th and John. I'm here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Damn Skippy, and Mr. Primo in the building. I'm talking about a takeover that happened this weekend. We're ecstatic. Episode 304. We're talking about the takeover. Let's first start with the vibes down in Washington. I got there a day early. I felt like Washington fans were phoning in early. They felt a certain way from the warm-ups to the fourth quarter. It's a thing to see in person when you go to another stadium and all your fan base comes in, takes over the stadium. I'm talking these Washington players were getting booed in warmups. They were looking at Eagle fans like, where did y'all come from? Eagle fans made their way down to the area where shout out to Andrew, who fell off that side of the stadium. They went over there and started mocking the security with caution tape. So, I mean, the vibes were started very early. And at the end of the day, you saw a Eagles fan base come together in one of the most beautiful ways. Just looking to your left, looking to your right, and seeing your brothers in all green, enjoying a sack of Carson Wentz, watching him go down, it was like a joyous occasion. A couple times I looked over Prime, I thought he was about to cry in tears.
Y'all get sentimental up in him. Really?
Prime was happy as hell. I was happy as hell, man. That whole damn day was amazing. You might have seen some of us booing.
Prime, are you crying in there? that's the sun of your eyes.
Yeah, booing early and often. We were getting our rocks off. It was a good time, and I think it's a hat tip to the fan base. They just showed up. But who else showed up was this offensive unit again, putting up points, 24 points in the first half. First half, this is something that hasn't been done in a long time. Eagles putting up 24 points in the first half in three straight games.
Also four sacks in the first quarter.
Yeah, and then
that's the Eagles' record.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, last but not least, the defense just showed up tremendously. The front line was balls to the wall. So, I mean, hat tip to those guys. I mean, how are you guys feeling after that thrashing?
How am I feeling? I'm feeling like we're one of the only undefeated teams in the NFL right now is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like I look at this team and I'm like, where's the weakness? I'm feeling like I look at the rest of the schedule for the rest of the year and I'm like, I'm not worried about any of these teams. This Eagles team is something else, man. The chemistry that you see among these guys, the growth that you see just all around, whether it be coaching, the players, everyone has taken a step forward this year. The vibes are right. It's wild that you know, this early in the season that we're power ranking number one, man. Like, it's a crazy thing to see. But just to your point, Gail, down in D.C. when we were down there, I mean, some of the biggest tailgates I have ever seen in my life. Thank you to Philly Sports Trips for throwing a hell of a party down there. But, like, it was all of the lots, man. Because I rolled down there. I drove separately than you guys. And I'm just walking around some tailgate, and I'm texting you guys, calling you guys. I'm like, where you at? It was another Eagles tailgate with 1,000-plus people. I'm doing laps around looking for you guys and just can't find you. And they got a weird setup down there. I had to walk through the woods in order to get to you guys.
Yeah.
It was weird. But like Gail said, we took over. It felt like an absolute Eagles home game. It's wild to see your players down there pumping up the crowd, asking for more noise in an opposing stadium. So it was an awesome experience. And, you know, the train just keeps on rolling, guys.
The one thing that I did notice was there's a lot of people, a lot of the I call them Jalen Hurts haters, was talking about, watch what Carson do, watch what Carson do. Some of them was calling it a revenge game. We got our revenge, but a lot of people didn't know the magnitude of being on the team with somebody and longing to hit them. You notice some of the people that were on the team with Carson that wanted to hit him, they got a shot to hit him. They hit him early and often. I think the only thing that it didn't really trouble me. I just feel like we got to close people out. When we got our foot on their neck, we got to start scoring in the third and fourth quarter, you know, just to let people know where we're coming from. I feel like we have an opportunity, and we kind of let up, but the other teams do have pride. But we're going to have to start scoring in the second half coming up. But I was privy to some of the after the game speech, and initially I was worried. I was kind of worried about the Jacksonville game because I figured it would be a letdown after they kicked Carson's ass. But given what I heard from the guys and the after the game speech, I don't see them see the guys letting up. If somebody beat us, they're going to truly beat us, and they're going to fight tooth and nail to try to beat us. The one thing that I'm still looking for is a complete total dominance. We dominating people, but I haven't seen like I think the score is going to go up. And once we get once our special teams started clicking as well, because our special teams really wasn't just like, you know, I need some returns and stuff. I need to swap field position. And did we get a kick block? Oh, we missed the kick. Did we miss the kick?
Missed the kick. Yeah.
Yeah, we missed the kick. It's like when you look at it, that's what the coach I know is going to be hanging his hat on. It's total dominance. We dominated on offense and defense, but the special teams need to come on as well. I do like the way that we got competition everywhere. And that's what breeds, when you're good, there's going to be competition at every position. Because don't nobody, if you mess up, there's somebody waiting to take your spot. But the greatest thing I had was, it was a friend of mine. She's and my sister was there, my brother, and one of my in-laws. They are from the D.C. area. They came with Commander stuff on, but at the end they was looking for an Eagle shirt because of the hospitality that we showed and the class that we showed. That was the other thing too. There was no fights or anything. We showed class in the other people's stadium, and it was just like one of those things where, yeah, we here and we take it over. This is our house now. You can have it back when we leave. So that was the greatest thing that you didn't hear about nobody having fights and stuff. I do have some videos, though, of some people that were inebriated, and I'm going to show those to you guys later.
I got some of those as well.
I got one from a guy that All About the Birds. Oh, my God. He did the Eagles chant, and I love the way he did the Eagles chant. Just put it that way. I'm gonna text it to you guys. Robert texts one of you guys right now. See if you can upload it. But it's the funniest thing known to man.
Hey, listen, man. You talk about the excitement. The excitement started from the very beginning of the day. I mean, from the time in the morning when me and the wife woke up, we looked at each other like, "Yo, it's game day, man. It's time to get up. Let's get up. Let's get going." We had to head down to the Lincoln Financial Field. Caught up with Philly Sports Trip. We decided to take the bus trip down there. It was a great experience. I got to admit, you know, it was a decent ride. A lot of Philly fans got up early in the morning. As soon as we got there, we ended up giving Vince a hand to, you know, get things in order, you know, with my background on the mic and everything and taking charge and stuff like that. As soon as he saw me get there, he was like, "Prime, I need your help." So I went in, filled in perfectly and started, you know, getting things in order with him. We got to the stadium. you know, as soon as we got off that bus, man, you know, me and Gail, we caught up. Excitement was kicking in even more. Like, hey, man, it's time to go have some fun. Let's go to the tailgate. The turnout was great, man. We're talking about 1,000+ people that was at this tailgate. It was a great time, you know, interacting with everybody, people recognizing us from the dip. So, you know, we felt like at home. But, you know, every time we go to Washington, we take over. It's like a guarantee we're taking over that place. And that's exactly what we did. Going into the stadium, I mean, hey, the day was perfect, man. From the time that we got shown on TV, people hitting us up like crazy saying they saw us. I appreciate everybody that was tuning in. I appreciate everybody that was reaching out to all of us. Yeah, man, it was a great time. You know, I got to admit, you mentioned something about how I felt about Carson. Look, the minute he ran out of that tunnel, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you, like, mixed emotions didn't kick in. Like, damn. Like, there's Carson in a Commander's uniform. What's this going to be like? You know what? But I tell you, after that first play, after that first sack, it went all out the window, man. I'm like, yo, let's fucking go. And that's exactly what happened.
It didn't happen after he held the ball for too long.
Nah, man. They took – listen, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. He played like we did, you know, and the Carson of the old was still there. It's still in him. Yes, he did hold on to that ball a lot. You know, he definitely couldn't get away, but the defense took advantage, and it was good seeing the sacks, good seeing the defensive plays. And, bro, that offense was lit, man. It was, like, the best outing that I've seen in such a long time. These balls getting thrown, just you know, me and Gail were talking, and we're like, yo, just throw it up. We got the weapons, just throw it up, and that's exactly what Jalen did. Jalen did that, and these guys were coming down with the balls. Even the ones that were incomplete, we were excited. We were all grabbing onto each other like, oh, shit, here we go. You know, that was the type of excitement it was in that building. But the ratio of us fans compared to them, man, people were talking about it was like 60-40, 50-50. Nah, man, that thing was like a good 80-20. You look around, you could barely see a Redskins. I think we were probably seeing more other opponent teams, like, you know, Cowboys.
Fans, God.
It was crazy. It was like mixed. I'm like, what the hell are y'all doing here? But hey, look, at the end of the day, y'all could go ahead and play. Work together, and you're still not going to go ahead and outnumber this fan base. And that's exactly what happened, man. You know, we got the victory. The excitement was definitely kicking in once we left that stadium. It was a great time, man. Great time. But I don't know, man. I'm ready to go, man. This team's looking hot, and they stay on fire.
Before we get into it, we just want to send some love and welcome a new family member into the 4th and John community.
Yes, yes.
Malcolm Jr. Talking about holding. This guy's ready to catch the ball. He's got to get his hands up. He's going to catch the football. But
look at those hands, bro. He's already got big hands.
Yeah. So Mal is a proud father. He said,
he's a papa.
He said, I called him. I said, how are you feeling, Mal? He said, I have never cried so much in my life. Happy
tears. Don't let
tears.
The baby see you cry, man.
He's like, I'm happy and scared at all at the same time. But look at that, man.
Don't let the baby see you cry yet.
Hey, man. The baby sees him cry. That's all good.
No, let the baby see you cry yet. Then he know he got you.
Speaking of dads, the defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles were the father of Carson Wentz.
You know what, Gail? They were the father. Remember when we were talking last week and I told you who the pigeons were? They were running to line up over the left guard and the center. And they were making sport of Kazi, the offensive tackle over there. Dude, yeah. If you go back and look, if you get a chance to go back and look at that field,
I seen it.
They were picking those two guys. And it was one play where Hargrove lined up over him, and I think he spent him around in a circle as he was running to Carson. That's how bad it was. I was watching the line play the entire time, and they did exactly what I was expecting my guys to do. They took over. It's like it's the first time in a long time that they took advantage of the pigeons. And I was like, I was so proud. But my bad, continue.
I just want to jump in and say that, like, you mentioned the four sacks in the first quarter, and you could see that get to Carson right away. I mean, Carson, he gave up in that game after the first quarter, man. He was checked out. He was scared. He was seeing ghosts. And how ironic is it that the next time we'll see him is right around Halloween? Speaking of seeing ghosts, that'd be pretty good. I think we got to dress up in the
As the D line.
But we talked about this too, Evan. Like, are we really going to go ahead and see him? I mean, if he goes ahead and plays the way he played, Are we still going to see him
exactly?
Comes, you know, back to Philly.
If he gets sad again, this is finito for his career.
You know what? It's kind of funny that Prime said that. Yeah, but it's kind of funny that you say. Well, he'll be in there next year, only because of his salary. But it's kind of funny. Prime says that when I was looking at this game tape, I was like, if he has another game like this of this stature, his ass will be sitting on the bench. They will start that kid that almost beat Tom Brady last year. They're not going to stand for it, especially their defense was decent enough to where had somebody put up a fight offensively, and you know, they would have been cool. But their offense didn't put up pretty much a fight at all. The offensive line was getting his ass whooped, and I think it's indicative of the captain of the offensive unit. You see him going down like a ton of bricks. It's like, what am I going to fight for? He getting paid the most. I ain't going to fight. I'm just saying.
You mentioned Hollis too. How at the top of the show you said how old Eagles players wanting to get hits on Carson Wentz, and you look at who was totaling those sacks. It was pretty much Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox leading the charge there. Some two longtime teammates of Carson Wentz. And that being said, it is awesome to see BG out there balling stuff, man. Yeah. This guy continues to get better. It's great to see, man, because after, you know, the injury that he sustained, it was a real question mark whether he was going to be able to bounce back from that at his age. But he looks phenomenal right now, and I'm glad to have him back.
Now, the Eagles had 4 sacks in the first half for the first time since 1991. You're talking about Fletcher Cox. He had 3 total tackles, 1 sack, 2 QB
one
hits.
1.5 sacks.
1 tackle for loss. Brandon Graham, 6 total tackles, 2.5 sacks.
Yep.
5 QB hits, 1 pass deflection. TJ Edwards, 10 total tackles, 1 sack, 2 QB hits, 2 tackles for loss.
Do they count the QB hit when Carson pulled it down and tried to run? And I'm talking about TJ unloaded on that ass. Carson was trying to make a statement at this point in the game, and he can't really try to do that because he's a big guy. He came and he tried to lower the dynamite, and TJ came up and was like, "Yeah!" I was like, "I think he knocked all the rest of the fight out of him at that point of the game."
And I also want to, like, while we're on the topic of the linebackers as well, one thing that I started to think about is we haven't even fully opened up this team yet. Like, N'Kobe Dean still waiting in the wings, man. TJ Edwards is balling right now, and I'm glad to see TJ Edwards balling, but, like, we have so many layers and so much depth to this team. Jason Kelce is playing at a phenomenal level right now. Cam Jordan, I'm sure, would be balling as well. Like, this team has depth. And that's
everything that you're mentioning there is a good problem to have, man. Like,
it's not a problem.
It's a problem. Awesome. It's not a problem for us, but it's a problem. Yeah. And it's a very good problem. A problem for the opposing teams. Like, that's just the thing. You clearly stated we still have weapons that you don't even know about. And then going back to a lot of the comments that you guys were making earlier, like, you know, we're not scoring in the second half. I'm also one curious to know why we're not doing as much in the second half. But then somebody, I can't even remember if it was Gail or if it was Evan that brought up the comment, like, maybe you don't want to go ahead and show everybody everything that we got. Maybe that might be the reason why they're not doing so much in the second half. I don't know. And if that is the reason, I'm okay with that. I can respect that. You know what I mean? Because they're doing their thing first half. Because we haven't seen first half play like this in God knows how long.
We usually wait to the second half.
Right.
Too little, too late nonsense.
Right. Yeah. And I don't want to. Well, we was talking about the people that are stepping up. I don't want nobody to forget my boy Patrick Johnson, second-year player, stepping up. And number 95, we can't say his name, but he was handling business as well. I feel like the young guys are stepping up as well. And Jordan Davis. You see the big pass block. He's getting more playing time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jordan Davis, that's another guy that a lot of people are talking about. I think he's definitely going to be an X factor as they go down through the season. You talk about a guy who's working his way into his role. I think he's a guy that everyone wants to see him, you know, just let him rip. But, be patient, you know, like we're seeing it. He was causing pressure early and often. I don't know if you guys saw that clip where he's coming up the middle and Carson is just like, you know, the Carson, you know, when he sees the deer in headlights, he had a deer in the headlight moment when he saw Jordan Davis coming at him. So he was causing pressure early. So I think as we get down further into the season, you're going to need this depth. And I think Jordan Davis is just coming into his own.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And how about I mean, we flip it over to the other side of the ball. We got three Batmen out there, as they like to call themselves. The only three wide receivers in the league with 45-plus yard reception so far this year. I mean, like I said earlier, we are firing on all cylinders. And that is one thing that, granted, that was me. Guys, that was me talking about Jalen Hurts on the arm strength earlier this year. My man's been throwing the deep ball like no one else right now. I got nothing to say. I think this man has progressed immensely, and it's great to see, man. I mean, Carson Wentz was
easy take. Easy take.
Let's not gatekeep the Jalen Hurts love here, okay? All I said was simply that he can't be the Jalen Hurts of last year and be him this year and be considered the franchise quarterback. Jalen Hurts has proven to be a franchise quarterback this year, 100%.
I mean, he definitely is, and I mean, going back to last year when we all had concerns about certain things about him, Gavin's concern was the arm strength. My concern was leading the receivers. It's all things that he progressed in, all things that he's gotten so much better in. I mean, we were going back and forth. I was explaining to you with my baseball background experience, arm strength can be built. And look, it shows. Proof is in the pudding. My man is really launching.
And what did I tell you?
You're gatekeeping. This guy's gatekeeping.
I distinctly said, give this kid a chance. He's got to learn.
Absolutely.
But that everybody talked about.
We say don't give him a chance?
I said give him a chance.
You did.
Everybody was tearing him down. Give him a chance. Y'all act like he was a 5 or 6 year veteran. That's what y'all was acting like. And I just said, give the kid a chance.
Who's y'all?
Wait a minute, he's got to be able to throw these passes.
Tank, let me just ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Okay. Do you think that Jalen Hurts has improved from last year?
Yeah. But okay. I already knew that. But see, I was riding. Well, see, it's the difference between riding with him and then publicly.
Well, we were riding. Well, hold on. We were riding with him too. One of the comments was,
I don't believe in him yet. Yeah, one guy said, y'all didn't believe in him.
We were all in, bro.
Well, y'all said, when you say you don't believe in him,
who are you talking about?
I'm talking about them too. me and Mal was letting y'all know.
We were all in.
At the end of the day, Jalen Hurts, he's a guy that he had a nice little quote. Like, obviously, you know, the media is always going to try and get him to say something. I thought this was a nice little just shows you what Jalen Hurts is. You know, one of the beat reporters is like, you know, are you and Carson will be connected probably for your entire careers now that it's over? Is there any satisfaction for you that now that you've shown that you can sort of handle, you know, the situation? And he's like, I'd say not. It's very good for us, you know, to come in here week three and get another win, regardless of the opponent. It's a faceless opponent to me. We came out here. We were able to get away with the win, and we didn't play to our standard. And that's the kind of the biggest takeaway I have from this game, said Jalen. Same with the last 2 weeks. We're grateful for the win, but I'm not satisfied. So when he says we, I think it's for me, it's always the little things. You can tell what players are saying.
Yeah,
they'll tell you what they're saying without even saying it. Mm-hmm. He's dialed in and focused. You talk about the faceless opponent. I talk about the coach speak that he speaks in. Even though I feel like he believes all that stuff. Some players might talk the talk but not walk the walk. He walks the walk and talks the talk. So I feel like everyone is falling in line. And I think that whole standard thing.
I can't see Prime and Evan at the same time. Take a picture down. I just want to see the look on their face.
How can't you see us?
No, I can see you good now.
Oh, man. I don't even.
You will rule the day. No, I'm just teasing
you. I'm just kidding, but now you're not.
I am just teasing you. I love the team. Well, it's I'm only teasing you guys, but I'm serious about that Joker John and there's a couple of you other skanks out there. that I got. I got some words for.
There are, and that's where you need to focus on them. You need to focus mm-hmm. on them. But you were absolutely right, because you can even still hear it in that stadium. You can hear it in some of the crowds. There's still a lot of people that don't have confidence in this man. Period. Mm-hmm. I mean, their confidence level compared to the confidence level you think we have in him is mm-hmm. nowhere near. Like, they just don't have it. They really don't think this guy is capable of leading us. And look, we're already at 3-0, and it's based off of him, based off of the plays that he's been making. So, you know what I mean? I'm with you. There are people out there that need to get their shit together, wake up, and realize, yo, this dude is the real deal.
I think that those people that are out there, though, those are simply the types of people that hate to be wrong. You know what I mean? So they will look for any excuse. Like, where I've been saying is that I admit I was wrong about what I had said about Jalen Hurts. I'm willing to accept that, and I'm happy that I was wrong, because that just means so much better for us. But the people out there that are just hell-bent on having a correct opinion and are not actually watching Jalen Hurts out there and watching how good he's balling, those are the people that need to get checked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Bradshaw, we coming for you now, man.
No one really talks about the nuance that he's worked on, like, and then some of that stuff you can't be seen on, you know, like, you know, IG videos. This is like cerebral stuff that he's,
chosen to
work on his game. Even Sirianni was talking about how Hurts doesn't want to leave this, you know, Novacare. He's dialed in, like he's pretty much locked in, and we've kind of seen that all off season.
And when you're a defensive player or a player on the squad, and you see your quarterback, the kind of work that they put in, and I can see the work that he put in, because I was taking notes on everybody's critiques, and it was his footwork. He wasn't stepping and following through his soul. I never thought he didn't have. He has one of the strongest arms in the NFL as far as that. His accuracy was in question, and it was mainly because of his footwork and the way he was throwing the ball. But I see a great amount of improvements even towards the end of last year. I saw him getting some confidence, and the confidence comes with being in the same system again. And it's like as he's going through this system, we're going to see some leaps and bounds that I don't think any of us have seen in quite some time. Because what I didn't realize earlier this season, this is only the second time that this kid has been with the same coaches. As the first time he's been with the same coaches for 2 years, mm-hmm. with pretty much the same system. I went back and looked. I was like, man, because when he was at Alabama, mm-hmm. they had Lane Kiffin, then they had the guy Sartesian, and then somebody else came after Sartesian. And then he went to Lincoln Riley. Yeah, he got here, had Dougie P. Then Dougie P's out. Then he had Nick Sirianni. So this is actually the first time that this kid, and he's flourishing, and mm-hmm. it shows. I don't think he has no which way to go but up. And the thing that I love about him, and Gail was just saying this about the I, not the I, but the we. When you listen to Carson, you hear A-O-1, I need to do better. I got it. That's the way I play. And when players hear that, even though it's a subliminal message, and it's just like what Evan and you guys are saying, you know where they're coming from. And it's not from a place of sincerity or a teammate. It's like, don't get teammate and homie mixed up. That's what I hear when I hear Carson talk. And so it's certain cats I hear that from, and I was like, I know I can't mess with that guy. I play and I do my job, and I do it to the best of my ability. I was like, but I can't count on that person. It's like, when you can't count on a person, you kind of hesitate, and you can't, and that's what causes the change in your team to be weak.
Absolutely.
Good.
I just wanted to say that the one thing that I think was you could see the stark difference. It was interesting to see the Eagles quarterback of past play the Eagles quarterback of present on the same field on the same day. And the one major takeaway I had is Jalen Hurts' decision making is just so much better than Carson's. Carson is out there trying to hit a home run every single play. He thinks he could score on every play, and that's why he holds on to the ball too long. That's why he turns the ball over so often. That's why he gets sacked all the time. Jalen Hurts is able to flush the pocket better, but he's also able to just make the right decision. He's making the right decision, and that is one of the major reasons why, I mean, pretty much the only turnover he has this year is the one that bounced off Kenny Gainwell's hands.
Yep.
Talk about players that he can count on.
and guys who are making it easier for him. You talk about a wide receiver. You know, in the offseason, everyone's wide receiver one and wide receiver, you know, maybe two. Or I was like, wide receiver 1A, 1B. And that 1B in Devontae
Smith. What about 1C?
No, I mean, well, I'm talking about the wide
receiver.
I'm talking about Devontae Smith, who had one of his, you know, best games of his career. You're talking about the yards he put up. I saw a note from Ruben Frank out here. He said, in 169 receiving yards was the most by an Eagle since Jeremy Maclin had 187 in the loss to Arizona in 2014. It was the most yards any Eagle has had against Washington in 29 years since Calvin Williams had 181 yards in a game at the Vet in 1993. So, but, you know, the way that he's attacking the football at the catch point is when we wanted him to get drafted by the Eagles, this is exactly what we talked about. Consistency at the catch point has been amazing. The way that he contorts his body in the air. This is things he's been doing consistently through college every year. And now he's just he almost reminds me of Marvin Harrison. Like, I'm watching the game, I'm like, man, he looks like Marvin Harrison out there right now.
Bro, the Slim Reaper came out on Sunday. The Slim Reaper came out from the dip on Sunday. That man was stealing souls. He was up in the air and grabbing everything that was coming his way. There was one play that you guys walked out to go do whatever y'all had to do. And I'm glad I didn't move, because that was the play he called the end zone. I mean, he went up in the air. He brought that baby down. Bro, my man was sweet. He was on fire.
See, he had a lot of family there, too.
Yeah, his footwork was on point. He was making plays, and I love to see it. The fact that we were in the building, we got to see that thing hands-on. It was great, man. He was on, you know, it was one of the best shows that I've seen in a while, man.
And just to Gail's point where he's talking about 1A, 1B, like, you have Devontae going off this game. You had A.J. Brown going off the first game of the year. Like, this is legitimately for a wide receiver core that just a few years ago, you know, what was it, Greg Ward or Travis Fulgham leading the charge with like under like 600 yards or whatever. Like, we have a realistic opportunity right now at 2,000 yard receivers. And that is just amazing to see, man. Devontae Smith, and that the one thing I want to say about Devontae Smith, it's not just the his hops, it's not just him going at the catch point. It's his ability that this guy's 170 pounds, and one of the biggest complaints is he's too small. He's not going to last in the league, dude. He's fine. He plays big. He's fine, absolutely bro. Fine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's great to see, man.
It's a couple of unsung receivers. We're not talking about Pascal or Quez, who's been making quality contributions, especially Quez on that deep sleeper that put everybody on notice about my boy's deep credibilities and throwing with accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, it's a good point. I mean, you say we don't really forget about Quez, and we really didn't forget about Pascal neither, because, I mean, like, they've been doing their job, and that's exactly what we need. We got four receivers that are doing their job, two that are definitely getting all the attention, opening it up for the other two. So, yeah, I mean, whether they're C and D, the fact that we have, again, that problem, I'll take it any day of the week. You know what I mean? So it's like you're going into the game, and you're like, all right, who's going to be that guy that's going to put on the show today? Because we have four options. When's the last time we had four options? Whatever. I'm running out of fingers, bro.
Let me ask you guys a question here, too, because Antonio Hopper brings up an interesting, what is it, Sophie's Choice, what they call it? But anyway, are you happy that we ended up grabbing Jalen Reagor?
Because ultimately,
we don't get Devontae. Do we have to suffer before we get to succeed? Is that you got to
crawl before you can walk? Or exactly. Run?
I mean, I'm not trying to excuse any of Howie Roseman's mistakes here. But he does have a point. We got the elite wide receiver core right now.
If you had Justin Jefferson
and then you get Devontae Smith, I mean,
yeah,
you would have never drafted Devontae Smith.
Or if you get DK Metcalf and then Devontae Smith.
Yeah. That's true.
which would and then you got AJ Brown. Oh God. Oh, sorry.
Nah, there's no way AJ comes here with two studly wide receivers like that.
I don't know. You never know.
Hey, listen, man. It all happened for a reason, and now we're all glad it did.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. I'm happy with what we got.
Just reap the benefits. Let's not fantasy football this up.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know Hollis was talking about Dallas Goedert. Like, let's not forget about Dallas Goedert. We'll talk about it. I mean, AJ scored, Devontae scored, Dallas scored off a nice little tight end screen.
The move he made.
I mean, you also
got. We all sounded like Chris Berman in the crowds. We were like, "Whoa!"
you gotta give hat tips to the way that Kelce got out there, man. He had, you know, he had that the horses out there leading the way. Did a nice little skip to my Lou move, yeah, and man. I, you know, like again, like when defenses are trying to defend the Eagles, like who do you defend? Because when you spend too much time on one certain player, there's someone else in the seams. Yeah, there's someone else in the flats. There's
or Jalen Hurts could just take off.
So you talk about taking off. A lot of people are like, well, Jalen Hurts didn't really run this game. So
yeah, he hasn't really ran the last two games. The very first game we were questioning all that.
I wasn't.
Okay, we know Hollis wasn't. We got that.
I say you run. But it's like to what y'all said. I understand what y'all were saying, but when you're playing, you win the best way you know how.
And you did. You made that valid point, and I admitted that last week on the show that because you brought that point out to the opening, it made me realize that more as I'm seeing the defense how it was set up. Yeah, you got to take advantage. That's what Jalen got better at. He didn't have that shit last year. That's another thing he got better at. He read the defense. He's reading the field. You know, so if his guys are being occupied, he's gonna go ahead and do his thing. So you know what I mean? Yeah, you made
Remember that's what I told you. I got mad at five for not doing because he was listening to everybody trying to stay in the pocket, and you see them running man, out there, and you steady trying to wait on a pass to be thrown. Instead of just pulling it down and putting these motherfuckers on notice, don't turn your back on me. Don't turn your back on me so I can throw the pass behind you or in a gap between you. That's as a quarterback, when they turn their back on you, you pull it down and you run and let them know that the four up front that's going against the five or the three up front that's going against the five ain't going to get it. You better make you spy me and take somebody out of the coverage. And that's it puts hella pressure on the defense. And it's like just the threat alone. I'll tell you this, in practice, when we was going against a quarterback that ran, they used to have a running back back there with the ball after the quarterback threw the ball so that we could chase.
Yep.
So it's like, so you have to, it puts you on notice. And even if he doesn't do it, you got to prepare for it. It's like, I feel like and that's another thing too. I feel like we've been preparing a lot better as far as culture-wise too. We haven't been surprised by just anything and everything. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about offensive MVP from last game, who you got? Who you got?
Numero six.
Number six all day.
I still got number one. I'm sorry.
That's cool.
That's fair. Cool. He had a great game.
I can't be thankful.
He probably had his best game of the year so far. I mean,
you could go Cole MVP.
No,
I mean, like, I think both of them played a phenomenal.
Well, yeah, one was thrown to the other, you know.
Because it
but
just
then, but then one yeah, one got other one got other everybody else involved.
Well, just from one a wide receiver perspective, more than anybody from else. A wide receiver's perspective, I'm gonna give some love to the wide receiver there because he just had one of his best games of his career.
Spectacular.
No, Jalen was awesome too, man.
Yeah,
Jalen was awesome. You see how there's a picture of him leaving the stadium, you know. Versus last year, where he almost got trampled. This time he's like probably like 3 feet off the air.
You got Dom holding the gate up.
I mean, he's like 3 feet off the air, and there's a look on his face where, you know, as much as he's locked in and he kind of like downplays the emotion. Usually at the end of the game, he lets it rip after a big dub, and I like to see that from him. But like the way that he's locked in, man, I love to see it, man.
Yeah. Something we haven't seen in quite some time.
Now, talk about defensive MVP. There's a lot of sacks, the QB hits.
Yeah, I was going to say the D-line as a whole. You can't really.
As a whole?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nine sacks, a bunch of hits.
Nine sacks, seven of them, they only rushed four. I think that is something that's being swept under the rug right now. Is we were getting pressure with only four guys, which is something that honestly we were kind of concerned about. We wanted to see more blitzes, but if we're able to get that type of penetration with four, I don't think that happens week after week because Carson holds on to the ball too long. I think that number is a little bit.
But the one thing that I did see though, we didn't really blitz. We did some pressure rushes to where one of the defensive ends, like if it was Reddick, sometimes they was dropping the back. But they sent them more times than not, and they rushed just four, but you didn't know which four. And that when I say creativity in a defense, if you look at everybody else's defense, in order for our secondary not to be tired at the end of the game, sometimes you have to run some zone, we call it zone pressures. And when you run zone pressures, you get the guys up front moving around and stuff, and they get to slant and move this way because you're bringing somebody from the secondary. And you're just dropping one of the defensive linemen who's more than likely in, and you're dropping them under somewhere, and you had this inexperienced offensive line that was playing. So that's why I loved what they were doing, i.e. I know it was Vic Fangio.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Come on. I was just about to ask the question, saying where we at with Gannon right now, bro.
I know this is all Vic Fangio. I know I'm a student of the game. I know
you think he's got the earpiece in?
He's behind the curtain.
I know how he calls the games. And it's like one time we're gonna sit down and we're gonna watch a game, and I'll show you how a good defense coordinator calls the game. Because we used to have in film sessions after going through the week of practice. On that Friday and that Saturday night before the game, we would be sitting up at team defense, and he would pick somebody out to call a defense. Call a defense on this play. It's like, you have to call defense. It's Jim would be like, Tank, second and nine. What you calling? I'm calling undersmashed zone trap. He'd say, I call that too. And you know why I call undersmashed zone trap? Because it's second and seven plus. They're trying to throw a short pass so they can make it to the third and manageable. So I'm not sending the house, but I'm sending four to five guys to put you on notice to get the ball out of your hand quick, possibly causing a pick and hitting the quarterback to let him know that it's about to be a long day. So it's an art, and I learned the art. It's the funniest thing is when I'm watching games, it still works to this day. Our next game, you're gonna see it at its finest with the next game because the defensive coordinator, he's one of my teammates. He's my boy. And he's a disciple of Jim Johnson, so we gotta get ready for this cat.
Yeah,
Mike Caldwell.
Yeah, talk about going back to the defensive line. I love when they got those one on ones. When they got those one on ones, Hargrave took advantage, like Fletch took advantage, and that's at the end of the day, that's what you want to see from your linemen, taking advantage of those one on ones and just really taking those pigeons and throwing them out the way, throwing them out the club. How they were showing the five man up front and then moving back TJ or like, you know, showing the blitz or like even on some of these passing downs where Epps would like lurk, you know, he's in the alley just waiting, you know, and they
called that robber.
and then Darius Slay was talking about in his presser just being, you know, they're like how to stop Carson Wentz, taking away his first read, making him get to the second and third. And you're seeing where
he was falling apart. And you could see where he's like trying to throw in that window. And Epps is like, hey, bruh, I see the dagger concept coming through. You know, like when you get the point where your cornerbacks are running the routes for the wide receiver, right. That's like beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
You know what? But I was just going to say, you know what that tells us that they need to be in the offense a year longer, their receivers. And they're tipping their routes. What I did learn from Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, and Al Harris, and all those guys is and just sitting around watching them and watching film and listening to Leslie Frazier, guys tip their routes sometimes on the way they're running. And it's like if they run it out real hard like this, as soon as they do this, you know it's a comeback route. But if some guys know how to disguise it, and that's why when they say a guy is a real route runner. He never shows you what he's going to do. That's what I like about the Slim Reaper and AJ Johnson. You never know when they're doing the comeback because they run the same way. And it's almost like a cliche in football because if you're doing a move on the defensive line and you're about to change your move up, you still go about it the same way so you don't let them know what you're doing. So once they get on tape, they never know what you're doing. That's the part about that's when you make it past 3 or 4 years. That's how people get past 3 or 4 years, because once they have you on tape and they figure you out, it's up to you to be able to give them the same look, but give them some different stuff at different points of the game so that you can continue to have success.
And to that point, exactly. I mean, we've seen Carson here for, you know, the whole beginning of his career, 5-6 years, and we know exactly what he is. And I think the Eagles defense was able to game plan pretty easy against them, because if you remember while he was here, remember when they were breaking the field down into what was it, quarters? And you know, he can only look at this one quarter of the field. Yeah, the half field reads. Yeah. Like, man, it's so simple. You just see where his eyes go, and you guys lock down whoever's there.
Yeah, you know, the funniest part about the last part last year that Carson was here was watching the Cleveland game. I was at Stingers eating with some old guys. Some older gentlemen. We were watching the game, so they came up in the max blitz, and they didn't audible out of the max blitz. He pump faked twice, and it seemed like he waited on the linebacker to get to the flat. I know you know what I'm talking about, to get to pick six.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, what are you caught you? He did right by making the audible, but then you pump fake. You don't pump fake on a blitz. That was the dumb. And that's the type of thing that I just got sick of seeing. I was like, it's one of those things where I feel like he peaked and he fooled all of us with those first 2 years, and then he became trash because I think he was worried about the wrong thing. If they gave me $100-some million, I ain't worried about them drafting nobody in the second damn round. I don't give a damn about that. I was like, you're going to have to – I got as many chances as best. All he had to do was not turn over the ball.
Wake up.
If you don't – that's the one thing any coach will tell you. If you turn over the ball too much, you are not – you cannot lead us anywhere.
I'm just happy they won the first round of this, you know, because Sirianni's talking about the 17 round fight. I feel like, you know, I'm glad they won the first round, and then they're setting the tone. We watched some NFC East football last night, the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants, who lost Sterling Shepard towards ACL.
No contact too.
That was pretty bad.
Regardless if you know what I mean. How they play, regardless of Sterling Shepard towards ACL, that game was so trash. It was on both sides, defense, offense from both teams. I mean, it was a boring ass game. Like, I'm not just saying this, I'm not being biased, but bro, like, I've seen these guys, I've seen these teams compete, I've seen them go at it. It's at times entertaining because you know what I mean, you want to see the opposing teams in the division go at it.
Right.
But that was probably the worst outings I had. I mean, we had drop passes. Rush looks good. That line is horrible. Defense, you know what I mean, terrible. Parson, I know he was sick yesterday. I mean, he plays a whole lot better than that. But
I think
we were all
sick watching that shit.
Yeah, it was bad football yesterday, man.
You know what? If you watch the second half, it's some quality football came in the second half. But that first half, if you were bad enough to stick around for that second half, and I use that term loosely because it was like if you could stomach any more of it, that second half was actually some exciting football. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like it's like watching the Bad News Bears get good.
Can I just tell you, too, the lengths that these Cowboys fans go to? Because I saw a beat writer for Dallas, and he was out here talking about after that game, Cowboys second half points this season, 21, Eagles 14. Is that guy high? Like, are you looking at these two teams and you're like, yeah, that's a legitimate comparison?
Is that RJ Ochoa? Like, who's
Ochoa. Yeah.
the funny thing is he's like his Super Bowl, you know, his preseason Super Bowl was the Vikings and the Bills.
When we
beat the Vikings, he was like, well, you know, I said they really haven't played anybody, but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
maybe three out of the four opponents. I'm like, come on. Are you gonna move the goalposts? Like,
that's up to the Kings, bro. Moving the goalposts.
Well, that's when you start seeing you know, outside reporters starting to talk about the Eagles. You know that it's gotten to a point where, you know, the streets are talking.
But you know shit is real when you get this man to talk about a Philadelphia Eagle when he hits number one on his playmaker list. When's the last time you seen a Philadelphia Eagle be on this man's playmaker list? I mean, he got excited. I thought he was going to come out his suit. Matter of fact, bro, if you go back to that video, he unbuttoned his jacket because he was so souped to talk about Devontae Smith.
Yeah,
but I don't like it. I don't like it. And Morris doesn't like it either. All these Yahoos coming out the woodwork. They was shunning us at first. They're just waiting on us to have a bad game. So like, see, we told you they weren't good. I don't like it. I don't like them talking like they down with us. Fuck them.
At the
end of the day, it's always going to be fucked up because they weren't there from the beginning. Don't need you there now. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't try to bandwagon jump now. And all of the chumps on the what y'all like Rex Ryan punk ass was on there talking about. I don't know if I believe in Jalen. Well, he's made a believer out of me. Nobody give a damn. You foot like a son of an onion. I'm a boy, please. He has a foot fetish. I'm sorry. I had to bring that up.
Yeah,
I'll take the onion.
Mm-hmm. Bro, like, because I mean, you see all these outside media outlets really just pouring on thick, and I'm just like, you know, we've all been here in the trenches. It started in the off season. You know, the talks that we've had, the practices we've been to, the things that we've seen with our own eyes. We didn't need someone else to tell us what we're seeing when we're seeing it in practice. And at the end of the day, that's the kind of stuff I love. I love to see it come to fruition. So, like, we're here in that moment. But, I mean, from the first three games, we'll go around the room. What is your number one takeaway from this Eagles team? I'll go prime first. What is your number one takeaway from this Eagles football team?
Well, thank you for letting me go first because I'm pretty sure the rest of the guys are going to talk about the same one. But, bro, it's Jalen Hurts, man. Jalen Hurts coming out of the woodworks, doing his thing, proving us, you know, fans that had some concerns that, hey, listen, man, just hang in there. I got it. I'm going to go ahead and prove it. And that's exactly what he's been doing. Now, I know we're only three games in. But it's still having that great feeling that, you know, we could find this confidence going in to these games every week. And, you know, I mean, he's given us reasons to have that confidence. And I can't be more thankful than ever, you know, seeing the work that he's been putting in the offseason and now showing it in games. You know, I'm there. I'm being definitely being more patient, definitely giving him the respect because, you know, he's really showing the footwork. He's showing the arm strength. So, you know, all around, he's doing his thing, and I just hope he stays on point with it.
Hank.
Well, you know what? What it's showing me is that Vic Fangio can call a good defense. I was never worried about Jalen. I knew, but I had confidence in that the kid, what he did in the offseason and the things that he worked on, and just this whole, the way he goes about things. I knew that he was going to be ready for this season and for this challenge. My thing was the defense. Was it going to be a Fugazi ranked 10th ranked defense? It's like, and I say Fugazi because we were bend but don't break. You can't that defensive bend but don't break. That don't even sound correct together. When you play defense, you're supposed to impose your will. You're supposed to force the issue. You're supposed to kick ass and take names. And we're currently doing that. That first game, we bend but don't break. But then we came back. And Vic Fangio had to put some gunpowder in his coffee and Jonathan Gannon's coffee. And you know, and now we're coming up with the come on. The one thing that the other part was, I got the game going, and it's way more Eagles fans in the audience than it is. And I knew I went crazy because the takeover was real. I've never taken the picture of the audience, but damn near every other seat is green. It's got somebody with green on it in it. It's just like it's just maroon sprinkled out through there just a smidgen.
That's all it was.
So it was we was killing it, man.
Yeah. Mm.
We kept looking around and we people behind us, five yeah. people over the whole right. row was Eagle fans. Not one. Yeah, there was right. not one. There was. I saw Cowboy fans in our yeah. section.
And the funny thing is, if you just looked at this game and then took the score down, you would think it was Eagles home game because they got on light colored uniforms. And when you look at the stands, it's all those Birds fans that came out that handled business, man. It was dope. And one more thing too. I know everybody's seen when Jordan Mailata destroyed somebody trying to come on.
Yeah,
the
he destroyed him.
Oh
destroyed
God!
Him. Destroyed him.
But Evan, before you go, man, you know what I mean, Hollis, just a point that you brought up. I'm gonna tell you right now, that was a home game. Fuck what you heard. That was a home game from the dip. I mean, we took over that stadium. Yo, we were booing everything in sight from the cheerleaders. No disrespect. But the right. cheerleaders, the kid that went and grabbed the tee off the field when he was getting booed. All right. The guys that were singing the national anthems. I mean, us Philly fans, we contributed because that you couldn't hear them for shit. So we ended up chiming in and it was fun, man. So you knew that game was going to be all us from the very beginning to the end. And that's exactly how it turned out.
The other part of that was at the beginning of the game, I was listening. I had to turn up the volume. You didn't know that it was not a home. It was a home game for Washington because everybody was booing the crap out of Carson. When he hit the field, all year it was boo. Well, I was like, damn. I was like, are they at home? Dude, it was a great thing to hear, especially as in my playing years and seeing everybody that used to. Dude, they traveled well when I was playing, but man, this is probably the best I've seen ever.
Yeah. And just to your point too, I think my favorite chant of the whole day was whenever Carson was down and third down, and the whole Carson all started, and you know that was getting in his head. But to answer Gail's question, to get back to that, if I had went first, my answer would have been Jalen Hurts. He is him, bro. He is.
Oh, what a quirky baby.
But I will say that my answer just to switch it up a little bit is this defense, man, like as a whole, you're looking from the defensive line just absolutely dominating on Sunday to having two elite cornerbacks in Darius Slay and James Bradberry, just being able to lock things down on the outside and keeping Lil Tay-Tay in the slot exactly where he belongs as well. One of the big concerns going into this year was, you know, the safety position. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Marcus Epps have been playing great. This defense as a whole is a force to be reckoned with. We have a legitimate top five defense paired with a top five offense. You know what that means.
Ass kicking.
Get ready. Gonna be a long year.
You know it. All right, football in January.
My biggest takeaway after these three games, my brother's, you know, related, so he's kind of reading my mind, and he said there's no Robins on this team, no sidekicks, everybody's making plays. I do have the Batman shirt on today. I looked nice. High and low to get one. They're at Kohl's for $15 if you want to get one.
It's early this morning, just so everybody knows. Since early this morning, this man's been out there looking for a Batman.
I'm working.
I got three of them.
Yeah, man. So I have some, but it's funny just because when you think about this team and the areas of weakness, there's everybody's balling out of control. You can start with Jalen and work your way across the offense. The offensive line, defensive line, the safeties, the corners, the linebackers. There's really not a position of weakness where you're concerned about. But at the end of the day, every single week, whether it's Darius Slay last week, whether this week Devontae Smith, or like any one of number of the guys across the line making big plays, there's so many guys that are stepping up. There's no sidekicks. There's just – asses being kicked across, you know, the three weeks in a row. And it's like, I'm not trying to be, I'm not even coming from a homer perspective Well, I love what I see from this team. I love what I see from this team. You know.
And you know what is? It reminds me of it's like it, when we see the depth that we have, and everybody's getting in again. Because I like to watch when the young guys get in there to see what they're gonna do, and they actually doing good. They season the second. I had a pregame speech given by Avery Johnson, and he came to us and he's like season second, because it's like you're never gonna get this moment back again, and you never know if you ever be at this point again. He's like, so you need any time that you're on the field, you seize the second. You do your best and leave it all out there, and you ain't got nobody to apologize to, and you have no regrets. And I see a lot of you, like I'm talking about the young kids, like the second year cat, 95, because I don't want to wreck his name. And that's why Patrick Johnson. You see Jordan Davis out there. See, because they're white this first year out there handling business. So like he almost like a Deion Sanders of linebackers in coverage, man. So I was like, I'm just kind of enjoying the voyage right now. I just know that everybody's happy now.
Hey, a couple people are asking the question about this Batman situation. My thing is, has everybody seen all the Batmans here? Besides the last one, the very last one, has everybody seen all the Batmans here?
Except for the new one.
Evan, man, we got to talk, bro. I don't talk. Do the
superhero movies, bro. Michael Keaton is Batman, damn it. Adam West and Michael Keaton.
I was getting ready to say, Hollis, how do you label them? You know what I mean? They talk about we got three Batmans on the team. Okay, how do you label them? Who's your Bat? Who's Keaton? Who's Keaton?
AJ Brown's got to be Michael Keaton.
I would agree.
And there you go. And then Bale has got to be the Slim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper. Two best Batmans there, you know what I mean? Now, Val Kilmer and this guy, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Val Kilmer's Batman was actually pretty cool, because I liked the when they had the Riddler in there. Riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's Jim afraid Carrey. Of the big black
Jim Carrey, bear? Jim Carrey was playing the Riddler on that one. I remember that one.
Six you know, he went through almost 100 some of those canes trying to throughout the table, Evan
is so lost right now. He's so lost.
Yeah, I was in a store. I saw one of the clerks, and I was asking him. I was like, "Yo, you got any Batman stuff? This is my seventh store in a row." And he's like an older gentleman, so I'm like, "So who's your favorite Batman?" He's like, "Well," he's like, "It's not a popular opinion, but I grew up on Adam West."
Adam West, he
was the OG. So
mayor,
you know,
the mayor of Quahog. Yes,
he's Adam like, West was the man.
So you younger guys, I don't know. I was like, bro, you know, it's your opinion. You know what it is. Do you have any more Batman shirts? He's like, no, I don't. I'm like, God, damn.
You should have said Adam West, and you would have been in there like swimwear.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you guys have any questions in the chat, bring them up, and we'll close out with some of your questions before we get out of here.
No questions about Batman, please.
Again,
we can answer questions about Batman. One of us can't. One of these kids is doing his own thing. Oh,
also, before we, once you guys see any good questions, bring them up. But there's going to be a 4th and John tailgate. If you ever forget, there's always one. So.
Yes.
If you're always lost and you don't have anyone to tailgate, we're always there. So we'll always get a question. You guys, this is the question I've been getting all week. I know this is a dumb question, but are you guys tailgating this week? I'm like, yes, we're always tailgating.
Damn,
it's been 6 years straight. No games have been missed. We're going to be there. Well, I mean, the pandemic messed us up that 1 year, but we're going to be there. So we're going to have a tailgate. There's going to be lots of folks out here. This last photo right here is with
awesome sauce.
Jennifer Slay, the Slay family, Mama Slay on the left.
Mama Slay, yeah.
Yep. Good times. Yes, you guys see any good questions in the chat?
Daddy, you know what? The questions don't come when you're winning. The questions come far and few.
Well, Darren has a question for you specifically. He says, okay. after the game, after
I heard about this.
Ike Reese was talking about you wearing a leather outfit in the locker room one time. What's up with that?
A leather suit. I actually saw it. I was gonna text you, and I'm like, what is this leather? What was this leather?
Don't let
leather
me suit? Get a hold of that picture. I swear.
There's no pictures, and it wasn't. A leather suit. It was.
Just in leather.
It was actually. You know, the funny thing was, it was. You remember? Remember Rush Hour 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that on, but it was just the shirt and the pants, and I had a t-shirt on underneath it.
Oh man,
bro, this got it. What color was the leather?
It was the exact same color. It is.
Oh man.
Well, tell the listeners what the color of the suit was.
I gotta ask.
It's like a dark brownish orange.
Yeah, I gotta ask Ike. Do you have pictures? Please tell me you got pictures.
No, nobody got pictures. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm out there all on me. We didn't have pictures back then. put it this way: everybody on the team had a questionable outfit that they want to forget about. There was Corey, who looked like a karate master one time. I'm not gonna even. Everybody had an outfit before.
Brad Rolls.
This
we had a comment asking who should be returning punts. That is one thing that I will say is that while I talked about Devontae Smith being 170 pounds earlier and how he plays bigger, Covey gets absolutely torpedoed single time he touches.
Oh my
God!
That guy is going to get sent into orbit one day.
That's what I was saying. I think we had to give him some time to get his feet wet, Covey. Anyway, because he's going to have to learn. This is not college. You don't get that kind of time to stand back there. Well, if you don't put that hand up to Frank catch it, you're going to get blasted. And you better be sure before you put your hand up. I think it's one of the things where you're going to have to let a veteran guy sometimes take him when we want a good return. But I think you roll with the kid until somebody else steps up. It's one of those things in special teams where we're a young team and we're just coming along. That's like the only way I can describe it is like. It's like, okay, now we got our offense and defense. Now, this is what, remember when we were saying a complete game? We got our offense and defense down. Now we got to find out who our true special teamers are. Who are the guys who are going to go out there and get the tackles? Who are our guys who are going to go out there and get the blocks? Who guys are going to go out there and get the quality returns when we need them? And that's the next step in this becoming going from a good team to a great team and a really true contender. Because those type of yards, you don't account for those yards and those scores throughout the game in the playoffs. But when you get them, they're a plus.
You know.
And if you can switch the dynamics of the field, because every team in the playoffs are really, really good teams. So if you could get a gain an edge with your special teams, it's just icing on the cake, baby. It's like so we're on our way. I feel like we got some young guys that are getting it. I don't see a lot of penalties. The one thing that I do like is I don't see a lot of penalties on our special teams. And that's key. Because sometimes, even if you catch a fair catch and some jackass is holding all the way down there, that's still half the distance to the goal because he was holding. So yep. I feel like we're going in the right direction. Just got to get some returns, baby.
Yeah, I think Covey just getting used to the speed of the NFL, like knowing what lanes he can hit, mm-hmm. what he can't hit. You can't break it wide like you might have at Utah, but I've seen a dude break one against Ohio State. So I mean, you know, I just like at the end of the day, catching the football is always
just the
great
Batman's nigga on the
punts. But that is a good idea. But
Miguel on what you talk about that wide stuff. A lot of guys don't know you're supposed to stick your feet in the ground and get upfield. As soon as you start bowing and making all these damn moves, the heat is coming. And somebody just fired some buckshots, and your ass is on the griddle. I don't know why. If you next time a punt go down on any game, if a dude take one move and then hit it, he's good. But when he start doing all that juking and stuff, a blast is coming, and it's gonna be awful too. You don't know that? Yes, I do.
I was a punt returner for a long time, and you hit that lane. You can only make a couple steps. It's like running into traffic. Mm-hmm. With your hair on fire, you know you're gonna get hit. If you don't want the smoke, you know it is what it is. But talking about not smoke, but look at this photo here, man.
look at this photo here.
That big ass sunflower.
Last time I saw Hollis at the tailgate, this is where how we left him.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
I'm very impressed. Very.
You almost look like the cowardly lion in this.
Yeah, I got too much courage for that.
Well, what was
nobody around me trying me?
I kept on coming to spot back to the spot to see make sure Hollis was good, man. What were you sipping on at the tailgate there?
I was getting ready to come up to him, ask him if he's ready to go down the Yellow Brick Road.
Well, that's what's up to Sirianni is he's watering the flowers and fertilizing the flowers. That's from last year when he was talking about the flower stuff.
Flower power.
Yeah. I was drinking on some delicious Jeremiah.
Nice.
On the rocks, baby.
Okay.
And then, okay. And the people from the Philly barnyard? They gave me a thermos. A
very nice. Very nice.
Oh, yes, it's nice.
To answer Angelo's question, we will be in Arizona.
All four of us.
Damn.
Philly Sports Trips.
Yeah.
Check it out on PhillySportsTrips.com.
Pull that up right now.
Damn Skippy.
That's gonna be a nice one, man. That is going to be a hell of a time.
It's not a couple of days. We're gonna be getting in on Thursday.
You know it.
We'll be there on Friday, Saturday, chilling. Saturday chilling, and then Sunday the big game, the big win, and then we'll get an opportunity to celebrate that win. Yes, I'm speaking things into existence. That's how we do here, and then we leave back to Philly on Monday.
Yeah.
So last word, man. We'll go with damn Skippy, man. Last word, man. As we
last
leave.
Word. Oh, are we doing a show on Thursday?
Sir? Yeah.
My last word is I enjoyed myself thoroughly. It was one of the best games of the season. I enjoyed myself thoroughly throughout the tailgate, and then it was a pleasure to watch a game and listen to the chumps that are coming. I don't know if you guys don't get to listen to the commentary. They be wanting the other team to win so damn bad. And it just pisses me off just to listen to their dumbass talk. And I may have to – it was a guy who put out a book about all the bad calls and all the bad predictions that commentators and supposedly analysts make and supposedly expert analysts make. And it's making a lot of money. I need to just give everybody not commentary, but play by play on the stupidity of some of the people that they're supposed to have top notch equipment to get the call right, and you're lying, and they sit up there and lie. But I thoroughly enjoy myself besides the jackass of commentators.
Primo, last word.
Oh man, definitely want to give a shout out to the wife. You know, it was her first away game. You know, she ended up joining me. She had a great time. She wouldn't stop talking about it. She enjoyed herself very much. She got to see, you know what I mean, what it was like to be with the 4th and John boys. You know, she saw a different side of all of us, but she had fun at the end of the day. Definitely a big shout out to Vince and his crew for the Philly Sports Trip tailgate. I mean, it was hands down a great turnout, man. I mean, you guys put it down. It was very great. A lot of people are still talking about it. Looking forward to the next one in 2 weeks in Arizona. You know, like the guys had mentioned earlier, you guys are trying to tune in and catch up with us at the tailgate. There's still an opportunity. Get on it. They definitely, you know, they're putting on a good tailgates lately. So, you know, come and join us with over there in Arizona. Other than that, man, you know, be safe for the rest of the week. We got Jaguars coming up. Make sure you guys join us at the 4th and John tailgate. We're going to, you know, throw it down once again, and we're going to keep this streak going, man. Let's go. Go Birds.
Sure. For me, I just want to kind of echo what Nick Sirianni had been saying, man. He talks about this being a 17-round fight. Tank, I love the fedora, first of all. I got to just throw that one out there. He talks about it being a 17-round fight, and I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves here. Like, the juices are pumping, but we got to stay focused on the next round. Next round is Jacksonville. I don't want to sleep on them. We, you know, there's a storyline there. Dougie P coming back versus our new head coach. He's got a number one overall pick that he seems to have, found some talent in. And
also Mike Caldwell.
And Mike Caldwell.
Bill Shuey.
Yes. But I think
all those guys used to be here as coaches.
Is this my last word, or is this Tank's last word, Sty?
I was just giving it to you. Just trying to help you out.
All right, thanks, man. I just want to say, stay focused on the next one. Like Prime said, be safe out there.
To echo some of your words, man, just it's been a good ride, man. Like you talk about, if you've been rolling with us since the off season, if you open practices to Detroit, as we continue to roll and stack dubs, that's what, at the end of the day, it's all about stacking dubs. Not, you might not like how we get the dubs, but as long as we're getting dubs, it's good. As long as they're taking some learning lessons from what they've been going through, they've been dominant, but they still haven't played their best football yet. And that's, for me, that's encouraging, because what they're doing so far, and they haven't played their best ball, we haven't seen the best of them yet. So I'm excited about this football team. You know, if you haven't been listening to me over the last couple months and you can't see the excitement coming out of my ears, I don't know what you've been missing, but all these guys here have been on the show, have been dialed in. Right now we're enjoying the ride. Make sure you check in with your peoples, make sure they're good, and stay safe out there, Philadelphia. It's wild this week, man. Prayers up to the families out there that have been affected by some of the gun violence out there. But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always,
hold on. Also, prayers for the people down that's about to get hit by Ian. People,
the hurricane.
Check on your people in the south. Yeah. The hurricane is about to hit. It's a category 3, 120 miles per hour. But it's ugly. Check on your people and stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe, y'all. Fly, Eagles, fly. We'll see y'all
birds.
In the next one.